Welcome to Hardstop, talking marketing, tech, business, and more with industry leaders and game changers.
On today's episode of Hardstop, we are going to feature two conversations with a couple of different tech companies that are doing some amazing things in the world of retail and restaurant. We'll speak with John Parrish II from Citigrow about loyalty marketing. But first, we catch up with Evan Aiken from DataVale. DataVale is living in the future of retail with their tech platform, cultivating data about the consumer, about the customer in a store. Let's get to it. Our time is limited. We do have a hard stop coming up. Thank you so much for joining us.
And now it's your hard stop host, Adam Ritz.
It's fantastic to have you on the show to talk about tech and marketing for our customers and listeners of this show to find out. Times have changed. Stores, retail, restaurants, they get to know their customers intimately and know what their likes and dislikes are. And that's what your company, DataVale, finds out about the customer through technology. Is that how this works?
Yeah, no, that's really well put. That we're a data company. And at the end of the day, it's about that imprint that customers leave. And we think it's a data imprint that they may leave through your e-commerce. They may leave through your point of sale system. They may leave it anywhere. But what we really focus on with our customers and clients is trying to harness, aggregate, collect that customer data so you have one 360-degree holistic view of who your customer is.
And can you share with us, I love asking guys like you with what you do in the tech and marketing world, some success stories, like a client you may have, maybe you can name them by name. You don't have to if you don't want to, but a success story, somebody you've worked with DataVale, how they've used the information and data you've collected in a real world example to help their business.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't mention them by name, but we have one that's in the restaurant space. It's actually $1 billion plus client of ours that what they were doing was farming out their customer data to about 15 different agencies, partners, systems, I mean, you name it, they were sending it everywhere. They had no clue where it was going. When we started, it was a simple, let's just pull that together. And what really came of it was a single view of their customer. We called it for them a pane of glass. So they had their customer behind their pane of glass. What they started to do was just do some very simple test and learn campaigns. I mean, this is pretty basic stuff, right? I think of it as like a dating relationship with someone, you know? If you're courting a gal or a guy and, you know, you're wanting to get to know them, right? Well, okay, if I know that the gal that I'm courting likes jazz and she really enjoys seafood, okay, am I going to take her to a cowboy barbecue place? No, you know, I want to take her to a jazz seafood restaurant. And so it's just kind of that taking that natural extension deeper into our marketing communications, and for them it paid off, you know, three, fourfold.
Did you take your wife to a jazz seafood restaurant?
I love jazz and I love seafood. Did that come across? And yes, we go to the jazz seafood.
Evan Aiken is our guest from DataVale, and in our world of music in retail and locations and restaurants, the next step is having a customer walk into the store and the store can recognize that customer's music preferences, and the next song will be a song that that exact customer loves. So in your world of tech and customer data retention and information, what's the next step? 2, 3, 5 years down the road, where's this thing going with technology? When you walk into a store, what is that store owner going to know about the guest?
Well, I think it, you know, anyone in technology has heard the terms artificial intelligence and machine learning, and I think what I'm going to start to see more and more is the speed at which sort of steps 2 and 3 in that, the analysis and drawing conclusions and the acting on, that's just going to speed up. You know, the pace of that, it no longer has to go to a marketing team or some sort of analytics team to kind of draw those conclusions. But you're going to have your systems built in with the machine learning capability and those algorithms. Mm-hmm. They're going to learn in microsecond form to be able to turn around, okay, then I'm spitting out this next track, or I'm going to be doing this next. And it's going to be faster. It's going to take less human involvement. And so really, it's going to put us as humans in the opportunity to really start loading up that customer data with that psychographic information. We're going to be focused on, okay, if I know 100 attributes, now I want to know 1,000 attributes about my customer. Because the more information that I can put into that, the better my artificial intelligence is going to be able to act on that. So I think you're just going to see that faster pace.
Are they going to know? Here's an example from just yesterday. I walked into a store because I needed to buy an HDMI cable. And that HDMI cable was a certain price. It was, you know, $12.99. In the future, are they going to know that I need an HDMI cable? And when I walk in, that price is going to jump up to $17.99 because they know I'm going to buy it anyway.
I'll blow your mind here. I don't play futurist too much. But I really do see a point either in my time or my kid's lifetime where not only are they going to know that you're needing an HDMI cable, but you're going to have your own custom price list. You're going to have your own custom spec. They're going to need that thing at 23 feet, not 20 feet, not 40 feet. It needs to be 23 feet of an HDMI cable. They're going to be that specific about it. You're going to have your own custom price list, and it's going to be able to be spat right to your door. Who knows, through a drone. Whatever. But really, I think we're getting to, as consumers, we are the ones that are driving companies to that because we're demanding. So the speed at which that is going to happen, and you know, frankly, this whole idea of you having your own custom price list, that's not too far off. We're starting to mm-hmm. see that in some retail service. At least I'm seeing that in some of my clients with retail service, where they're not going to have just a board of you pay this for that service. It's everyone wants their custom service. I want this much time with my masseuse. I want this much time with my hairstylist. And you start to think about, okay, I'm shaping a service that is to my liking, to my expectation. So the price for that, the features for that, how I describe that on my website, it's all specific and personalized.
Evan Aiken, before we let you go, DataVail, the website I assume is datavail.com.
Indeed, yeah.
Have you walked into a store and you get sort of caught in your own industry and realize, oh my gosh, this store just got me. They knew what I was thinking. They cultivated my own personal information, and now they've made me act the way that they wanted me to act. Have you seen that?
It's starting. I would say where I'm seeing it right now in the broader hospitality industry is you get it like in resorts and hotels. You know, I'm from Denver, Colorado, and we have ski resorts that are tracking you where you're at on their property at any one time. And now all of a sudden, you know, they have digital signage and stuff in retail or in their restaurants that's starting to pop in to the information they're collecting that you did 1,500 vertical feet, and they're celebrating you at a lunch that you might pop in. Hey, Evan just did 1,500 vertical feet this morning.
Oh my
so
gosh.
If it's happening at that level,
yeah.
Restaurants are only about 5 to 10 years behind where that's going already.
Is that so when you fall off a mountain, they can find you too?
Well, yeah, that okay. helps too. Yeah. Send Lifelight in.
All right, Evan, we can't thank you enough for your time. Evan Aiken from DataVail. Pleasure having you on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful.
Very cool learning about DataVail. I'm Adam Ritz. This is Hard Stop. And now we'll close this edition of Hard Stop with a conversation with John Parrish from CityGrow and CityGrow.com.
We are lucky enough to have on the show John Parrish, the CEO of CityGrow out of Salt Lake City, Utah. And CityGrow is, I guess, from my small, feeble mind, I can say it's a text marketing business. Is that correct? How would you describe CityGrow and what you guys do?
Yeah, we say loyalty marketing. We say loyalty marketing, but we're heavily involved in text marketing space.
I gotcha. Okay, yeah. Loyalty marketing.
Yeah, yep.
So you want to reward the customer for coming back.
Yeah, we want to get them to come back. And sometimes that's rewards. Sometimes that's just simple engagement, reminding them that the business is there.
And so from your side of the fence, you're behind the curtain of the loyalty industry. Tell us some things that maybe we don't know about. We can tell our customers, yeah. Hey, join the loyalty program. And to, you know, someone brain dead like me, that means you buy 10, maybe your 11th one's free. What do you know that I don't?
Well, that's the most common is you buy 10, get one free. What that does for a business is there's a lot of tracking data behind loyalty. And you don't think about that from the consumer standpoint, that every time I come in, if you're using a system like ours, a digital system, you put in your phone number that tracks points, and it's as simple as that for a customer. But for a business, we know what time of day you come in. If you're a breakfast or a lunch or a dinner customer, we know how often you're coming in. Ooh. Is it every week, every Friday, once a month? So we can base these text and email campaigns based off of that data.
And the business card that I used to have with the number 1 through 10 with a hole punch, that business card doesn't know that I come in.
The paper doesn't know that. No, but you can do this. You could get a zip code from somebody and know somewhat of the location they're in. To geotarget, we take a little bit different approach. We do integrate into some apps where, let's say, I checked in with my phone number for loyalty. I leave, I get a text message that says, thanks for coming in, download our app if you really want the deals or for whatever incentive. Once I get the app, now I can start geotargeting. So I can take the data point of where you come in, or I can set up a fence, a perimeter around my business, and as soon as your phone enters that, assuming that you either have Wi-Fi on or Bluetooth enabled, I see it, and we trigger out a message to do it. Really popular among, like, say, convenience stores, gas stations, who you always come to the pump, but they want you inside the store. When they see you're at the pump, you get a message that says, come in for your favorite donut or whatever they have data on you for. The problem with the app is if people don't download it or they don't turn their Bluetooth on, they might be coming in and out of your geofence. You're just not picking it up. But if we can get them to put in any data entry at the point of service, at the pump, then we know to send them that message. Especially if our data says you haven't been inside for the last 10 times you've filled up.
John Parrish is our guest from CityGrow. We're talking about loyalty marketing through emails and text messaging campaigns. You're a fairly young guy. You're the CEO of this company. Before, I'm assuming you've got a marketing and a tech background. How much did you know about the legal world and attorneys and laws? Because we were talking off mic about all the legal issues that go along with opting in or opting out or text messaging somebody that may not have given you their phone number.
With the regulations that happened a few years ago, there's a big change in text regulations, and that's when I had to dive knee deep into regulations. Before that, it wasn't that heavily
the wild,
regulated.
Wild west.
Yeah, it was, you have phone numbers, you can send messages. It wasn't quite that lax, but now it's really big on regulations. The name of the game's consent. You have to be able to show consent from customers and related to what you're sending. So I can't go get consent to send you a receipt text and then start sending you marketing campaigns. You have to know what you're signing up for. And so from our side, that's probably the thing that separates us the most from other text marketing companies. We're not just concerned about sending out messages. We're concerned about getting phone numbers. So we capture 10 times the amount of phone numbers as standard text companies because we add different ways to get that consent from customers.
When I met John, he was telling me about some of the best practices of a business reaching out to their customers through a text messaging loyalty program. And you were saying what's the strategy? Like one a day, one a week? I mean, you don't want to overkill because now someone will turn off their phone and opt out. So what's the strategy on that?
Well, it's really different based on the business and how relevant your marketing messages are. Because if you're just sending out, we call them reminder messages, just, hey, we're there, and it doesn't come with a really big promotion or there's no real juice behind it, but you're maybe focusing on top of mind awareness, you don't want to, I mean, we recommend like 2 to 4 a month in the restaurant space. There's other verticals that can send more. Some verticals get away with like daily newsletters. Again, it comes back to, did I sign up for the daily quote from this company or daily newsletters? Most people sign up for rewards, so they want a promotion tied to it. They want an offer, some kind of juice behind it. So you can send more if you've got good stuff coming.
Last question, when you go to a restaurant, you're sitting there, you're enjoying your meal, and the restaurateur comes up to you and says, hey, how do you enjoy your meal? Do you say, it's good, but I think you should have CityGrow as your loyalty marketers? Can you turn it off and relax at a restaurant, or are you always pitching your product?
You know, it's better now. Years ago, we started in 2011. I would say for the first couple of years, you're always looking for that opportunity. Now I'm sure the sales guys, they still always look for that opportunity, but I'm able to turn it off.
You just want to eat your burger.
At least the sales side of it. I'm thinking a higher level strategy and, you know, well, what can we do on that side? But
awesome. Yeah. Well, what's citygrow.com, or let's get some Facebook and Twitter out there.
Grow is GRO, so no W on grow. Citygrow.com.
CityGrow.com. CEO John Parrish joining us. Thank you so much for the time. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me.
We've come to a hard stop. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends to download and listen to all Hard Stop shows at HardStopShow.com or subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. I've got a hard stop, and this voiceover session is over.